Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Wow, what a God. What a day. Just stay standing for one more, like 30 seconds. What a day. What a day. I don't know if you're spiritually minded, but we've had a change of season here. Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm going to talk about destiny-defining decisions, but really I'm just talking about upsizing. One of the worst films out at the moment on Netflix is a film called Downsizing. It is just, it starts off good, but it's just a bad concept to downsize your life according to your resources. You want to upsize your life according to your vision. Vision trumps resources every time in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven. It's vision first, resources second. It's vision and then provision. It's vision, then pro. Pro means for the vision. For the vision. Never cut according to the cloth you've got, according to the eyes that you see. And if it hasn't happened so far, everyone online, God's opening our eyes to see. You know, all men live under the same skies, but not every man has the same horizons. Some are constricted by disappointment, by grief. But those days are over. God's expanding our horizons. You get what you see. You get what you see according to your faith. According to your faith, not your partner's faith. Not your friend's faith, but according to your faith, be it unto you. You get what you see, not what you feel, but you get what you see. Your horizon's expanding right now. We're not downsizing, we're upsizing. One of the worst decisions Jen and I made was 9 years ago to downsize our house. Oh gosh, I hated every minute of downsizing our house. Just lived on the very outskirts of Sheffield. There was clip-clop of horses outside. I thought, I feel like I'm retired. What am I doing? Beautiful vista outside of the countryside. I'm thinking, I'm too young to live in the countryside. I don't know if you've seen our house now, but we decided to upsize. And I feel fabulous. Feel young again. Downsizing is part of old age. Upsizing is part of a youthful spirit. Your youth shall be renewed as the eagles. It's not time to reduce, it's time to expand. Gosh, the mood's going to change when the piano stops playing. I love speaking when the piano's there because I, as you can see, Ryan last Sunday night used spaces and pauses, and I love using pauses. I think my brain works a little slower as well, so it makes me look intelligent rather than stupid. But we're going to have to change the mood. Give someone a high five. You can take your seats. The band, you can take your seats as well. Oh gosh, so good. Let me talk for a few minutes about Ryan Gilpin. And how pleased Jenny and I were when he came last weekend of you in here and he led worship in the morning. That was extraordinary. His new song we just sung just before, and then led worship at night and preached at night. And I think it's his second time preaching in church. And it was as if he's done like 100 times preaching in church. And the thing that's impressed us about Ryan, he's never downsized his vision in times of difficulty. He's never downsized his dream. He's never downsized his worship of God, never downsized his belief of God in times of difficulty. And we just love that. And those that remain entranced by a big vision of God and keep their dreams big shall see big dreams come to pass. And he was talking to me about his album, and because he wanted to record an album with the songs that he'd written, and we were talking about where to do it, and I said, well, maybe don't do it at church, because it'll just be like a regular meeting. Why don't you pick a venue out there? And he's thinking, small concert halls or small theaters and that. I said, why don't you choose a studio? Why don't you choose the most famous studio in Sydney? And it's Studio 301. And so he rang them up, and then he booked the studio, and he did his concert and his recording in the studio. And I just got names of people that have recorded in that studio. Kanye West, the revivalist, Kanye West, the man single-handedly with the Sunday service choir, changing the world. Coldplay, Muse. Yeah, see, I thought there'd just be two people saying yes to Muse, because anyone over 40 thinks, what is that? Black Eyed Peas, U2. Uh-huh. Snoop Dogg, E-Dog, Tiesto, Lana Del Rey, Kiss, Delta Goodrum, yay, Metallica, and Ryan Gilpin. Oh, I love that. You know, Mia Fields came for our conference, our women's conference last year, and she's an incredible song leader, a songwriter, and she wrote the song Tremble with Irwin McManus's daughter. And so just without us knowing about it, he emailed Mia and said, Mia, I'd like to write some songs with you. And she emailed back and said, let's do it. And so they spent time on FaceTime writing some songs, and she helped some of the songs on his album that's coming out maybe in a month's time or so. And then she invited him to come over to Nashville. He spent 2 weeks songwriting with some major stars in the Christian music industry. And he met the guy in charge of Integrity. Nothing happened from it, but he got in there to meet the guy in charge of Integrity Music or Integrity Publishing. And then he's going back this year for a month in Nashville to write songs. How is that possible? Because he didn't downsize. And you know, all of us go through storms, and all of us go through difficulties. But the spirit I want to urge on each of you is, don't downsize your dreams. Don't make plans for a smaller future. Always make plans for a bigger future, a future that's bigger than you. And it's in one of my books, you know, that whenever we had church buffets, Ryan used to pile his plate really full of food. And people used to say, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. But it's not true. His stomach is smaller than his eyes. He doesn't need to reduce his eyesight. He needs to have an expanded stomach, a greater ability to digest all of the food that he put on the plate. And I would say, don't put less on your plate, church. You know, God wants to give you a greater ability to digest all that God wants to do and all that God's doing within your life. He's an incredible God. The spirit of upsizing is coming upon our church, and the spirit of upsizing is coming upon you. Possibility thinking replacing poverty thinking. The spirit of yes replacing the spirit of no. The spirit of can do replacing the spirit of no way. Uh-huh. Everyone go, uh-huh. I used to be enamored by the start of major companies around the world, and one of those companies was Nike. Do you say Nike or do you say Nike? Uh-huh. And the guy who started it, called Phil Knight, was a track and field or track star in America. And he was fast over a mile, and he got enamored himself about Japanese running shoes, and because they were lightweight and people could run faster in them. So he started a company of importing these Japanese running shoes, and I think he did very well doing it, but then realized that he could do better than that. And so he teamed up with his coach, Bill Bowerman, and decided to figure out how we can lighten the running shoes and create more spring in them. And so Bill Bowerman was having breakfast, and his mum, his wife got a waffle maker for as a wedding gift. And he suddenly struck him that he could maybe do something with it. So he made some molten rubber, put it in his wife's waffle maker, and the whole thing wouldn't open. And so it was destroyed. She had to throw it away. And so he went down on that Sunday. They missed church and went down to buy some waffle makers. And he poured some latex rubber into them and then carved the sole of his shoe around them. And within a year, four of the top world's marathon runners were wearing those shoes with the waffle sole. And you know, 25 years later, it's bumping up against Coca-Cola to be the greatest brand on the planet. Well, how does that happen? Because they didn't say no to impossibility. Because they decided to step out of the boat and started to experiment and started to do things that had never been done before. And it's the same in your life. There are things that you've never done before. There's places that you've never been before. There's thinking that you've never expanded into before. This is that time. This is the time to upsize and not downsize. This is your year. It's called 2020. It's not the year. It's not the year, as Megan just said. It's not the year to survive. This is the year to thrive. It's time to expand your thoughts, your expectations, your dreams, and your horizons. This is that year. Your life is too small. It's too puny. And you're making puny plans for a puny future. And it just smells in heaven, because heaven's filled with vast vistas, with wide open plains, with wide roads. Because it's big, it's expansive, it's faith-filled. It's not led by impossibility. It's led by all things are possible. It says, I can do all things. I can do all things through the power of Jesus Christ. I love Psalm 16, verse number 6. It says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I've got a delightful inheritance. I adore that, because our boundary lines fall on the boundary lines of farms out in Derbyshire Dales. They fall on cliff edges. Boundary lines fall in gullies. They fall in places that are impenetrable. So instead of bridging the gully, they just put a fence along the gully. That's where fences are formed. But the Bible says your fences are not formed by impossibility. They're formed by the plans and purposes of God before the foundation of this earth. They're filled by God's desire. They will not fall in impossible places. They'll fall in pleasant places. Surely you've got a delightful inheritance. And I want you to pick up your fence sticks, because God's going to replace it in pleasant, delightful places. He's going to expand your territory. If you're born in pain, your future's pleasure. If you're born in restriction, your future's royal. He wants to expand you beyond your expectations. Your inheritance is unrestricted because your heritage is unrestricted. You know, as a Christian, I'm not just, you know, trying to create victory. I was born from victory. Yeah, right. It's major that. I'm not struggling to get healed. I was born healed. Born again healed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse number 3 says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, it's been given to me. How was it given to me? Through the outright victory of Jesus Christ on the cross. All I'm doing is manifesting that victory in life. It's already been signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm fighting the fight of faith, but I'm not fighting to create victory. It was created on the cross and through the resurrection. It's not unwritten. The future's not unwritten. The future's been written in the blood and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's already been written.
that his plans for you are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. That's our God. I come from victory. That's why you can raise your hands and praise God in the middle of your dark storm, because your storm is always temporary when you're born again by the Spirit of God, because you've come in to a heritage. Your heritage is royal. Your heritage is victorious. Your heritage is with the King and through the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a brilliant heritage. And once you connect with your heritage, you connect with your inheritance. That's why surely you've got a delightful inheritance. That's why you can't speak so miserably about your future. You're lying. Lying to yourself, lying to the heritage. We're not trying to get healed. We're receiving healing that's already taken place. You're not trying to prosper. You're receiving prosperity. You're not trying to break through. You're not trying to crush demons. You're receiving demon-crushing power that did it, that led captivity captive on the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what happened. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, just to underline that, because I noticed that only 25% of people were clapping. It says, and having disarmed, this is your Jesus, this is your great-grandfather of the faith, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing. Not surviving, triumphing over him and the cross. You are a triumphal generation. He's leading us in a triumphal procession right now. In 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 56, which is just shared around funerals, which is, does it a disservice. Where, O death, is your victory? Nowhere. Where, O death, is your sting? Where's the sting of death? It doesn't exist. For the saints of God, born again by the Spirit of God, tapped into the blood of Jesus Christ, death does not exist. It does not exist. If something's dead in your life, it's just asleep. The sting of death is sin. Mm-hmm. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ta-da! Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. How does he give it? In bite-sized portions. That's how he gives it. In bite-sized portions. From the Sunday lunch of victory, he cuts off bits. He's cut off a huge slab of sirloin for your 2020. And it's your faith and your obedience that eats it and receives it, brings it into reality. You're a winner, not a loser. You're a thriver, not a survivor. You're victorious even in your darkness. Your inheritance is for your taking. Just need to welcome all the congregations and locations of Hope City Church, because this will go out right across Hope City Church. Speaking to the whole of the movement called Hope City Church, there are thousands of us meeting right across the earth. Let's put our hands together for everyone in Newcastle and everyone in Sunderland and everyone in York and everybody in Leeds and everyone in Liverpool, everyone in Birmingham and everyone in London. Two locations now in London, Shoreditch and Balham, and everyone in Frankfurt, everyone Darmstadt. I'm still yet to say it properly. Sorry to every German who's offended by that. And everyone in Accra and everyone in Kuala Lumpur. Oh, gosh. I can see Hope City Church lifting up its head with new ideas, new strategies, new thoughts, new dreams, new visions, new expectations. All day yesterday, I could just hear the words of Elisha speaking to the woman who went to get pots. The more pots she got from her neighbor's households, the greater the miracle would be. You know the story. She poured oil into it and the oil multiplied itself, and it was according to her pots, be it unto her. But what the prophet said is, hey, don't ask for just a few. Don't ask for just a few. He's goading, ask for many. Don't sign off at three. Don't sign off according to your history. Don't sign off according to your poverty. Sign off according to your vision, that God can do immeasurably more than what you could ever ask or imagine. Sign off according to the immeasurably more. Not the history of your life, but the future of God's life in you. Say yes to the Spirit of God. That the Spirit of upsizing come upon Hope City Church and come upon you personally. Past through few months, I've written a book, edited another book. And the book that I wrote is called The Truth Diet. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I realized in a day and age of anxiety and day and age of depression, of which we've got compassion for, that you'll never have true release without truth. And because the world trades in lies, then because of that, you'll never have people truly living a free life. So Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And in the book, there's 181 modules. 181. And then Eden Gordon, Gorman, who's here, who's 16 years of age, Amy and Karen's daughter, and she wrote something on Facebook when she was 15 that was her observations of someone who's got the gift of autism. And she wrote some observations, and it was that brilliant. I said, you ought to write a book. But then I thought, well, how can someone who's 15 write a book? They need a mentor. And so I thought, I'll be her mentor. And so then I grabbed it and then reshaped. It's brilliant because I've got a little gearing toward autism. She's got 176 observations. You know, for example, everything from the temperature of the room to the slight breeze in the room to the slight noise in the room to the atmospheric change in the car when the windows wound down. From the positioning of everything on the desk, the height of the desk, the height of the seat. Just everything's observed. So in the last few months, I've done 181 modules of the truth diet and then worked on 176 modules of Eden Gorman. Well, I love that because no one else does that. Everyone else says, well, I'll write a book one day. Everybody's got a flipping book in them. It's just something in you that restricts you down. You've got stuff in you that needs to get out of you. And it's because of a downsize mentality. You're constantly downsizing. Saying, well, I haven't got the money. Yeah, but when you write the books, then the money will come to print the books. When you launch out in the plan, then God provides. Every step you make, God gives you the inheritance according to your steps of faith. If you don't step out in faith, nothing happens. I'm sorry about that, but nothing happens. It remains potential energy, but not kinetic energy. You've got to add to your faith steps of faith. And the moment you step out in faith, then everything starts to happen in heaven. Why just do one thing when you can do many things? Some of you stuck on one dream. You've got the dream of personal breakthrough in one area of your life, and yet you've benched your dream for my breakthrough. Because you're so self-consumed. Because you thought God could just do one thing at a time. I've just used up all of God, believing for my healing.
Well, that's just ridiculous. That's because you live ridiculously. Seeing God's restricted, he's going to put all of his energies, all of the cross, into healing the left leg. And but what about me? Why don't you believe for me? What about us? Why don't you believe for us? You've downsized according to the singularity of a dream. And it doesn't do you well because life's multifaceted. For a start, you need 12 miracles, but you think you just need one miracle. You need a miracle in ministry as well. We want to see Hope City Church expand beyond all proportion. And so each one of us needs to be multiplied 5 or 6 times. That's a miracle that's beyond healing. And then everybody else has got 12 miracles for you to attach yourself to their miracles. And I want you to build a package, a miracle package. And a shopping list, a Tesco's of heaven shopping list of possibilities of what God can do. A multiplicity of effect of what God can do. You can have your cake and you can eat it too if you make a bigger cake. You can have your 2 birds in the bush if you let go of that one tiny bird in the hand. That one tiny downsized vision. Not going to go very far. Ditch it and go for the 2 fat birds in the bush. The 2 big birds in the bush. I'm going to read you a short story, it'll take a minute, from 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'll pull out just the big five decisions that you need to make. And I will do it fairly quickly because I've just got maybe 10 minutes or so. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. So let's go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole of wood, and let's build a place there for us to live." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Well, why don't you please come with your servants?" He said, I will." Elisha replied, he went with them. They went to the Jordan, began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh my Lord," he cried out, "it's borrowed. It's not even mine. Being so much debt." The man of God asked him to downsize, just whack the trees with a stick.
"No."
He said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed in the place, Elisha said, "Cut a stick and throw it there." And he made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. And then the man reached out his hand and took it. Decision number 1, decide to speak out. "Look, this place is too small for us." Speak to your pain. Say, "Pain, you're too small for me. You're too small for my future. You're too small for my vision." You want to speak to your season. "You're too small for me." Speak to your fears. Speak to your phobias. Speak to your doubts. Speak to your habits. Say, "You're too small for me." Personally, I'm declaring that I, Dave Gilpin, the personhood of Dave Gilpin, is moving from seed time to harvest, from preparation to presentation, from faithfulness to fruitfulness. I'm not thinking it, I'm speaking it. And if you hear me speak it, it's quite ruthless. Because I wasn't born to be a perpetual sower. There's 2 seasons. One is the season of sowing. The other is the season of harvest. You can't sow all your life. There's got to be a time where you move from seed time to harvest. And that is my time.
And there's going to come a time where you speak up as one of the company of the prophets, saying the place that we're in is too small for us. It's too small for us. We've lowered our expectation. We've just created a Christian huddle here. Let's build a bigger place by the river, a bigger place by the sea, a bigger place so we can expand according to the vision and according to the future that God has for us. I believe in faithfulness, but I'm not here just to be faithful. If you abide in the vine, ask whatever you will, and it shall be given unto you. Faithfulness precedes fruitfulness. I'm not just born for winter seasons, I'm born for spring and summer. But see, I'm speaking it. Some of you need to zip it with your cynicism and speak it with your faith. It's too small. Life, you're too small for me. Expanding our horizons and believing God. Number two, you want to decide to move out. Verse number two, he says, let's go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole or a piece of wood. Let's build a place there for us to live. Decide to move out. Prepare the way. Head for the river where all the trees are. You're going to move out of your mourning into your singing. Isaiah 54 is famous. You ought to get a marker pen. And you ought to mark all over. Verse 1 to 3. Sing, O barren. What's she doing? She's moving from mourning into dancing. How do you know that you believe in the power of the cross? Because you'll move into the power of the cross before you see the power of the cross come to pass. I just got to say, there's always a lag period. I mean, the day you plant seeds, not the day you reap your seed. That's your problem. You think, oh, it didn't work. Just when you pray for someone, don't open your eyes. I know sometimes we get evangelists come along because they're operating the gift of healing. But you know, without the gift of healing, don't open your eyes. Just believe. Because otherwise you'll think, how does it feel? So I'm still in pain. Oh, it hasn't worked. Well, that's ridiculous. It's only you understand how the kingdom of God works, that there is a season for sowing. And there's a season for reaping, but they're not actually in the same day. Outside of the nine gifts of the Spirit, they're not in the same day. There's a lag period. Believe in the lag. Be happy in the lag. Lag away. Lag, 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 lag. Lag away. Enjoy the lag. But if you're believing for finances, don't check your bank account in half an hour's time. It's ridiculous. A seedling dies if you keep pulling it out of the soil every half hour. Eventually it's dead and you say, hasn't worked because your greasy fingerprints are all over it. Get your hands off it. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit of God. There's a lag period. We believe in the lag. We believe in the lag. We believe in the lag. Sow your seed. Lag time. You're going to sow, wait, reap. Sow, wait. What do you do in the waiting period? Well, you're going to change your morning and dancing. You're going to sing, O barren, when you never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy. Those who've never been in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. So your desolation is actually your gift. It's a perfect backdrop for the miraculous of God. More happens when you don't have because of impossibility, but you believe God, than those who didn't have the impossibility to start with. And then here's the words, enlarge the place of your tent. Don't downsize. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Don't hold back. Hope City Church, don't hold back. Lengthen your cords of expectation. Strengthen your stakes of belief. Why should we do that? Why should we make a bigger tent? For you will spread out to the right and left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in the desolate cities. That's why. Because you'll spread out to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Your children will settle in desolate cities. How does it start? Sing.
got to take the misery out of you. She's too miserable. Too miserable for the future. Too miserable. It's clung with sinew to unbelief. Just cut it off and start to sing unto your God. It's time to praise God again, to raise our voice, declaring the promises of God. You can do that. Do it when we're together. Sing with all of your heart. Everyone at the back, lift your hands to God when we're singing. Use every moment to turn our mourning into dancing. It's a faith action. When you're feeling restricted, feeling like someone's kicked you in the stomach, what are you doing in retaliation? Well, you don't. It's got nothing to do with that. We just sing unto God. Your hands, you praise God in night season. That's what happens. That's what you do. That's what you do. That's what you do. In the night season, you lift your hands and you praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You praise God, the creator of everything to you. You praise God who no longer lives in a grave. You praise God who's resurrected. He's the resurrection and the life. That's what you do. Number three, decide to cry out. Verse number five, the axe head flew into the water. He said, "Oh Lord," he cried out. It was borrowed. Some of you have just lost your cutting edge. Just flown off somewhere. Well, I suggest you cry out to God. The Holy Spirit groans for you, intercedes. While you pray, the Holy Spirit interprets that. And some of his expressions incomprehensible. But it's time to cry out to God. There's a path near our house that leads to an estate that in the last year I must have marched around that estate 150 times. They probably think I'm a stalker. I'm not. I'm an intercessor. I mean, the prayers, they're not great prayers. They're just, I don't know. I admire people who just pray eloquent sentences that go on and on. I'm thinking, I'm just so stupid. But I've given it a go 150 times around this estate with stupid prayers. But the best you could, if you were to boil it all down, what is it? It's a cry. It's just all it is. It's a cry. It's just crying out to God. So we saw last weekend with Ryan was the end result of a cry. I mean, who doesn't love their kids? Who isn't? You know, they say you're only as happy as your saddest child. But don't leave it there. And cry out to God. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, "Call unto me and I'll answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things which you know not." The NLT says, "Ask me and I'll tell you remarkable secrets you don't know about things to come." Number four, you want to decide to return to the place where you lost your cutting edge. Where did you lose it? The prophet said in verse number six, and he showed him. It may have been a place of severe rejection. It may have been a place of incredible unfaithfulness towards you. It may have been a place of a moment of madness within your life. It may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. Point number five, decide to throw in the cross. The wood represents the cross of Jesus Christ. Apply the cross to your bleeding. Apply the cross to your bruising. Apply the cross to your brokenness. Because the cross is the cross of healing. It's the cross of perfect power. It's the cross of overcoming. Throw the cross of power on the soreness of your pain and see what God can do. And lastly, decide to lift it out. Verse 7, "Lift it out," he said. And the man reached out his hand. Cutting edge is coming back.
feel like it's come back to me. I feel good. I mean, I feel like I'm sparkling. How? Why? Well, I don't know. Sometimes your cutting edge flings off and falls into the waters and then thrown the cross. Now I've gone back and just picked it up. I'm the same as you, I mean. Difficulties abound. I picked it up. Sparkling. Got my va-va-voo back. My pizzazz. Or as the Bible says, my anointing. Father, let the spirit of upsizing. Father, let those who have lost their cutting edge, let it return to them. And let them return to the place from whence it was lost. And Father God, let it be sharper than it's ever been. As you restore our edge back to us, let it glisten like it's never glistened before. Sparkle like it's never sparkled before. And Father, come upon it right now. Come upon it right now. Father God, Lord, we draw a circle around ourselves and we hold a party, a party, a party. We put on, sing a hallelujah, shout a hallelujah. We put it on, Lord God. We turn our mourning into singing. We take off our sackcloth and our ashes. We put on the garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise. Take us out, God, from our smallness. Don't ask for just a few. Ask for many, the Lord says. Ask for many. Don't just believe for one thing. Believe for many things. Believe for me as I believe for you. Believe for us as we believe for you. Expand the borders of your vision. Together, all of us together, we'll see Hope City Church become everything that it was born to be. It wasn't born to be parked up on some country lane with horses clip-clopping past. It was born for the highways and the freeways of life. Take us to the river, God, the place of abundance, the place of expectation, the place of fruitfulness. Father, I thank you today. It's people in this room who are reconnecting to God. Well done, you. It's people here who backslid upon the sense of bluntness within your heart and the sense of, well, all I can do is be bitter, get smaller. You've decided to come and return to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you, or if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ before, this is your moment. This is the greatest decision you can make right now, to cry out to God. If that's you, pray this prayer after me and everyone else can help me out. Dear Lord Jesus, I am returning to my God, to my Creator, to my Originator, to the author of my life, and to the cross and the resurrection. I'm returning to Jesus Christ. Accept me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be mine forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed. If you did pray that prayer, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to think about it. But if you did pray that prayer, the best thing you could do is draw a line in the sand. And to do that, I'm going to ask you, with every eye closed except for a few counselors, to lift up your right hand and leave it up till all the hands are up on the count of three. So if you did pray that prayer and you were sincere, I'm not looking for fakers here. I'm looking for sincere people. On the count of three, I want you to lift up your right hand, leave it up till all the hands are up, every eye closed. 3, 2, 1, lift.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.